Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless the words that I speak and our thoughts, that we may know your love and be sent out in your service. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it is indeed really good to be with you this evening on this very significant day indeed. As well as being the day of beginning of this new ministry, today, you may not know this, is also the Feast of St. Aidan. St. Aidan was Bishop of Lindisfarne. He was a missionary. He was a trainer of priests. He was a preacher and a teacher. He cared for the poor, and he died 1,370 years ago today in the year 651. Pretty remarkable, I think, to be remembered 1,370 years after your death. Not many of us, I suspect, will be, but Aidan is. For us, it would mean they still need to be talking about us in positive terms in the year 3400. With Aidan, when it comes to why he is remembered, it comes down, I think, to two reasons. It's actually very much connect to that which Tom has just been talking about. Aidan is remembered, first of all, because he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And secondly, he's remembered because he shared the good news of Jesus with others. Well, I think if you're going to be remembered, that's a pretty good thing to be remembered for. And it's also a good steer for us today. Oliver, you come among us, as Tom has reminded us, as a follower of Jesus Christ yourself. As we welcome you to this new ministry, we welcome you as one who walks closely with God in your own discipleship, in prayer, in study of the scriptures. Amidst the busyness of ministry, hold fast to these things. And you come, of course, to walk with the people here in their discipleship, in our discipleship, and together with those who gather here, to look out and to share this good news with these communities, connecting them to the wider church and to the world. So Aidan, whose feast we celebrate this day, seems to me like a good place to begin. Which brings us with Aidan to our scripture. And let's start with Matthew and our gospel reading from chapter 9. Jesus has been really busy in this chapter. Jesus has first healed a paralyzed man. He's then called Matthew to follow him. He's then restored a girl to life. He's healed four more people, including two who are blind and one mute. And now as we come to these last verses of the chapter, John seems to pause and reflect on what Jesus has been doing. Jesus has been about in the cities and in the villages. Well, not so many cities here in this benefice, but you are very well provided for by villages. Jesus knows them. He's been out and about in them. He has been visibly present. Oliver, one of the things that I know will be important to you as a disciple of Jesus Christ is to be that visible presence of him in these villages, out and about. But of course, you don't do it on your own. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. this is a call to us all that you will lead to inhabit the space of our communities, to be present, to be engaged. So Jesus is out and about in the villages, and then Jesus is found teaching in the synagogue. Oliver, I know, close to your heart, and again, Tom, you'd refer to anybody who'd think we'd had a conversation beforehand. Close to your heart is that desire to teach the faith. To teach the faith that we may be fed by the scriptures and our knowledge of the word and the wisdom of God that is to be found in the scriptures. And Jesus does this. He does it in the synagogue where God is worshipped as we worship here and around this benefice. Jesus does it as the people gather. Oliver, you with lay and ordained colleagues here will gather the people in worship around the word of God in the scriptures, around the table where we reflect on his word, and where as we break bread together, we do that which we are commanded. We gather, we are transformed, and we are sent. The good news that Jesus proclaims is all in this first verse of our reading. It is of the kingdom. Jesus' constant refrain, always proclaiming, is of the kingdom. He points to the kingdom as a place of wholeness, of belonging, where disease and sickness is cured. Look what's been going on in these verses before this chapter. Jesus has compassion for the people. He heals them. He heals them because they are without a shepherd. Isaiah 52, verse 9. He, the Lord, comforts his people. Oliver, as you proclaim Jesus, take these words. Like Jesus, have compassion for the people. Comfort the people in his name. Love the people of this benefice. Care for them, and they in turn will care for you. Together with those who worship here, search out the lost and the lonely. Announce peace. Bring good news. Announce salvation. Say your God reigns. For in Matthew 9:37 we read, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. There is firmly, I believe, a deep longing in our society to live differently, to live well, perhaps even more so at this moment when we try and work out just what it is to live as slowly, two steps forward, one step back, we emerge from the world pandemic as we journey with other countries and cultures. And because we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we know just how that can be done. Our diocesan vision is rooted in Jesus' very promise that in him is life abundant, overflowing, life for all. This is the gift that we share. Nothing less than the fact that we can be set free through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Through Jesus' resurrection from the dead, that shatters darkness and oppression. Here is the life that we share, mirrored in the life of the churches of this benefice, flowing out in the communities around us. But verse 37 goes on, the laborers are few. We can recognize that we have limited resources sometimes, but God's love is always generously overflowing. And note this, Jesus does not say, because the laborers are few, turn in of yourselves, just think of your own, think only of those who come to church. That's not part of the vocation, the nature of the Church of England. Our calling as a church is to be present in every community. Sharing the cure of souls is not just about the faithful, but about all people. Most importantly, to do this, to look out, is to reflect the nature of our God, who says, yes, the laborers are few, but pray that the Lord may send laborers to the harvest. Do not be downhearted, do not give up, but look out and have trust, have confidence in God. My brothers and sisters, in this benefice, this is, of course, not a solo activity. It is not Oliver's alone. It's not one that is just to be shared with fellow clergy and readers or a select few. But this activity, sharing the love of God, proclaiming the kingdom as Jesus does, is our calling. It is that we are called to together, in which Oliver will lead, but in which we will share. So, Oliver, on this significant day, I give you the example remembered over many centuries of Aden. I suspect that the celebration of the saints is not a particularly strong element of this benefice life. But Aden is remembered as a disciple of Jesus Christ who shared Christ's love. And that's a saint worth emulating. Oliver, may Aden be your example. And with Aden, I give you, as you begin this ministry, these four verses to guide you from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Be about visiting, teaching, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the good news of the kingdom, with compassion, bringing healing and wholeness. And do this together with all who worship and gather here. In this way, you will fulfill Christ's command. You, individually, as a community, will be a blessing to those in your care, and you will be richly blessed. Oliver, may God bless you. Amen.